This podcast replay, it's brought to you by Edge Energy Drink. Go to myedgedrink.com and order the only energy drink I enjoy because it's delicious, smooth, and has zero aftertaste. That's my kind of energy drink. It's the Big O's choice. Make it yours. Get the Edge at myedgedrink.com.
All righty. How you feeling, my man? You feeling good?
I'm tired, man. I'm tired. You know, I had a great time this weekend. You know? But that's a lot of time in the sun, man. I'm not built like that anymore.
I heard it's a pain in the ass. You're like got to park like a mile away, and then they bus you over, and then you're kind of like stuck in there for a while and all that kind of stuff, right?
It's like, yeah, I parked like the media parking. It was always packed by the time I got there. And maybe that's my fault. I was not personally willing to get there at 9 o'clock in the morning. Not, again, not really my style, but you did have to park kind of a ways down. Maybe it would be easier if there were multiple entryways from airways to access the autodrome from the parking lot to the actual campus, you know, more bridges, but it was really one centralized bridge. It wasn't so bad, like, once you got in, and I appreciate the on-site parking, because as I left every day, I was watching a lot of fans walk. I mean, down past the casino trying to park or deep into Miami Gardens having parked at random lots. So I appreciate where it was located, but it's year one. You know, I think there's a few things that they'll go to the drawing board and say, all right, we can tighten up here, we could do this or that better.
Oh, they'll be fine, bro. That was a great event for the first go around. Of course, things aren't going to be perfect, but they'll figure it out. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine. I think there's some track concerns from the drivers. Some grip concerns, some loose gravel, loose stones. But other than that, I mean, it was a quintessentially Miami experience. Yeah,
it looked awesome, bro. It looked awesome. I mean, I watched all the pre-race stuff and watched the race. I had it on one of the tubes, and I thought it was – I was impressed, man. I thought Garfinkel and company did a marvelous job with it, and I'm sure that they'll make it even bigger and better next year. And they'll, you know, get the kinks out. Of course, it's your first time around. You're not going to be perfect. But considering everything that was in play, I thought they did a really, really good job. Outside of Martin Brundle, who doesn't, you know, that was like, you know, that was a disaster. No. I was talking about this, right? And I said, get me Angela Yeh from The Breakfast Club. Get me Mario Lopez. Get me, you know, Michelle Beisner or somebody. Get me Maria Menounos, you know. But let the old man interview the F1 drivers because it's what he knows. But get people that are hip and that understand entertainment, sports, and social media, and they'll be able to get more out of those interviews. Now, it ended up becoming great because it was such a train wreck that the old man didn't know anything outside of F1. So, yeah, but I mean, you know, if you get me Angela from The Breakfast Club, she would have been hip enough to understand everybody, know everybody, and get something out of some of these interviews. Like, if she gets to Serena, she's going to get more out of Serena than Martin will ever get out of. You know what I'm saying?
But it was Sky Sports, I believe. That was the Sky Sports broadcast.
Spend a little money, get a couple of entertainment people, hire them for the week. Give me a break.
I don't know if they're used to this level of celebrity, first of all, attending a race. From what I was told and what I was hearing, it was unlike any other F1 circuit.
Oh, really?
Race that, wow. As far as one, the paddock itself was a lot narrower than it usually is and a lot more crowded than it usually is. But and then, just like I said, the level of celebrity. I mean, shoot, man, I had paddock access. I just stood in one place. And in a 3-minute span, Tony Parker walked out behind me to zero fanfare. Venus and Serena walk out the door, down the stairs, and to some other garage to zero fanfare. Then in a row, it was Gabrielle Union, Dwayne Wade, Paolo Banchero, and Travis Kelce together. DJ Khaled walks out of the stadium with Damson Iris and their entourage. It was just like a... And that was one space. That's not counting Tom Brady or Michael Jordan or Pharrell or Tay Diggs or, I mean, Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis. This was just unlike anything that they've seen because it's new and it's Miami. So you know, I think that everybody's going to kind of observe what this event was this year and say, okay, this is what we're prepared for. This is what we could do better. This is what we need to take advantage of in the 9 races to come, and maybe more if that agreement gets extended past the 10-year agreement.
By the way, you need to reach out to Sky Sports right from that, reeling off all those names. You were better than Martin. See, you would have at least recognized, because he just sees a tall, light-skinned brother, and he goes, oh, that must be Pat Mahomes. Let's go. And it's like the dude's 6'9". It's like the first-round pick, Paolo, from Duke.
I'm not going to say in his...
Don't you know that Pat Mahomes is not 6'9", dude? Come on.
I will say, well, Pat Mahomes was there, at least. He was a lot bigger. He's a lot bigger than I thought. I'd never seen him in person before. He's a lot bigger than I thought. But it was funny. I was walking back into the media center, and I passed by Paolo and Kelsey again. And this time I got Kelsey's attention. I was like, hey, man, is that Pat Mahomes? And he looked at me like I was crazy for a second. But then I started laughing. He starts dying like, oh, bro, chill out. They got his ass on TV. Like, he thought it was hilarious. Like, I think it's I don't think anybody took offense to it or anything.
No. Everybody enjoyed the train wreck, dude. Everybody loved the train wreck with the old man. Because the old man,
he just didn't care. He was like, whatever.
You're the wolves, and the poor guy doesn't really. And by the way, his producers also suck, because it's his producers that were kind of leading him to, oh, no, Pat Mahomes, that might be him over there. That's somebody in his ear, too, because he doesn't know any better. So the producers were also terrible, too, for Sky Sports.
If the NFL would just send the Chiefs overseas, man, we wouldn't have these problems. They're holding all the best teams out. They're holding the premier teams and quarterbacks out.
That's what they do. That's the idea.
Yeah.
Your premier team. You've got the luxury of not having to travel to damn Europe if you're a premier team. That's kind of the – so we rip off London and we give them the worst games. So, yeah, unfortunately, that's just the way
it is. You know what Blake Bortles looks like, though. I bet you didn't know who Trevor Lawrence looks like.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. The Jags have become their inherent team, which, I mean, really, seriously. That if I'm London, if I'm England, I would actually, like, break off any kind of relations with our country. I mean, we would become enemies and things like that. I mean, that's really what England should do. They should declare war on us for giving them the Jags. Really, seriously. I mean, they should bomb the crap out of us just for giving them the Jags every year. That's a declaration of war right there, basically.
I'm trying to think of what the equivalent would be the other way around if they sent a Premier League, if they had a Premier League match in America every year, a real one, not like this. I think Chelsea and Arsenal are coming in July, where the stars probably won't play, and it'll be kind of a fanfare and a show. But like, I wonder what it would look like if they sent. You know,
see, here's my problem with that.
Team, what do we be like? Brumley and Aston Villa, or Brumley and I don't know.
Here's the problem. No, here's the problem with that. That doesn't fly, because their worst team in the Premiership is 1,000 times better than any team in the MLS. So it just doesn't fly, because it's still upgraded soccer to what we have here. So it has to be more to the
Jags are better than whatever American football they play in England. I don't know if there is an organized league.
No. Who's despised in England that they don't like the Canadians don't want Justin Bieber. Cubans don't want Jose Canseco. The African American community. Who are you kicking out? Come on, kick out somebody. You know there's somebody.
I'm not doing that.
You're kicking out. Who are you kicking out?
I'm not doing that, but I don't know who London would.
Why not? Well, that's the equivalent. Whoever is hated in London or just thought of trash, they're giving him to us now. You know, it's something like it. It's like if Canadians said to us, hey, Bieber now is yours. He's American. Forget about it, dude. We got to blow Canada up off out of the map. It's over. I can tell you for a fact, the Cuban community wants nothing to do with Jose Canseco. We have dumped him. Get rid of him. Okay.
I think Canada would take Justin Bieber right now. I'm not going to lie. The man got hits. A lot of them. Let's see. Watford versus Norwich. There we go. Thank you, Fins Nation UK. Your time to shine, baby.
Yeah, but that's still better than the MLS. Watford and Norwich would win the MLS title. See what I'm saying?
Sure they would.
Like, okay, so Finns Nation UK Club, give me the most despicable English person, band, something that you would want to get rid of, and you give it to us. Because that's the equivalent of the Jags. Or Jose Canseco.
And now we wait.
So there's nobody in the African community that you're dumping. Seriously.
I'm just not going to tell you. You're not going to get me caught up. No, sir. Not me.
I'm trying to think of who the African community would want to dump. Oh, OJ. Boom. Bam.
I'm not going to confirm or deny that. I am not. He said Manchester United.
Come on. Come on, you're dumping OJ. You know you're dumping OJ.
I am not commenting on OJ. Somebody said Jason Whitlock. I personally don't like Jason Whitlock.
I'm not a Jason Whitlock fan.
This is not me speaking on behalf of anybody. I have personal beef with Jason Whitlock. So I would get rid of him as a reporter.
He uses race like a toy. That's the only thing I don't like about him at times.
Just look at his resume over the past 5 years, and that's really how you need to see.
I'm not a Whitlock. Ooh, Bill Cosby. That's a good one.
Not coming on that, but I can talk for about 30 minutes on how much I don't like Jason Whitlock, but no.
You're not dumping Bill Cosby?
I love my ESPN job. I love my ESPN. See this condo behind me? I like living here, oh. I like living here a lot.
Does Bill Cosby own the damn building or something?
He does not own the building, but like Kevin said, I like my ESPN job. I might even love my ESPN job. How about those dogs?
By the way, for the Cuban nation out there, what's the other Cuban besides Jose we're dumping? It's got to be another one. I don't know. But Jose for sure. I can tell you that. Right, you don't have the guts to at least dump somebody off the boat.
Nope.
There's got to be somebody that's
absolutely right. You are absolutely right.
Like I'm going through the swamp, and we see 8 gators. I'm throwing Jose Canseco over and just continuing.
I gave you an insight to my personal life. I told you I don't like Jason Whitlock.
Those gators eat up Jose Canseco. Don't those gators all of a sudden become mutants, and they, because of all the things that are inside Jose Canseco, that all those chemicals that may end up, that may screw up those gators. And we may have to deal with those giant gators now, and they start growing.
Gators have been around for like 1 million years. I think their stomachs are pretty straight. They're pretty ironclad there.
I love the guy that throws out Fidel Castro. Bro, come on. I mean, let's get realistic now, okay? We're talking about like normal people that we would dump. Obviously, Fidel is, come on, bro. Use your brain. I mean, Fidel Castro. Really? All right. Do we have any Dolphin news to talk about this week? Because I don't know anything to ask you about the Dolphins this week.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think they came out with the hardest little video of 2022. That group of them at F1, Teron Armstead, Christian Wilkins, Javon Holland, Jalen Waddle, Mike McDaniel somewhere in the middle of it. I thought it was tough as hell. I couldn't stop watching it. It's the cinematography. It's the fits. It's the slow-mo feel to it. It's not even slow-mo. They're just walking slow. But the funny thing they're walking through the paddock, and nobody knows who they were. They were hanging out with each other. Like, I'm sure when they get out of the paddock, you got to remember, the paddock, that's like $11,000 a seat. These are rich, rich people. So, like, they don't know. I bet you they get out into the campus, they get out in the grandstand, it would be this whole thing. But it was just funny to see, these guys who in their own bubble would be swarmed with people just kind of like going unnoticed. And so I love the experience, man. It was cool. But no, we got rookie camp coming up this week. So the 4 drafted guys, the UDFAs, we're going to get a little bit of access on the 13th and 14th. I believe that's Thursday and Friday. So, I don't know how much we'll be able to report quite yet. We're still getting the media rules for the offseason, but it'll at least be a good opportunity to see Channing Tittle run, to see Eric Azukama, how crisp his route running is, and you know how much he meshes with McDaniel's early system. We'll see Skylar Thompson and see, you know, what was the was he worth that seventh round pick? Because I'm not gonna lie, I'm leaning kind of towards it being a waste, although a minimal waste at that. It's a seventh rounder at the end of the day. But you know, it's just, I want to see these guys on the field, and it's our first football action that we get access to since what was it, January 8th or 9th, the last game of the season. So just an opportunity to be there and watch football. I'm happy.
Let me walk you through something. Just so you'll maybe look at it in a different perspective on the quarterback thing. It's a seventh round pick, right? So the seventh round pick, there's no difference between sixth and seventh round and undrafted free agents. They're pretty much the same. But the difference is that you'll control this guy for a few years because you drafted him. And so just in case you did find some kind of a diamond in the rough, your controlling part of it is a little bit better than it would be as an undrafted free agent. So instead you say, well, you know, some of the guys they did get as undrafted free agents, they probably were looking at those guys in the seventh round and said, well, you know what? If this kid has upside to be a backup quarterback, then it's worth it so we can control him contract-wise with that seventh-round selection. That's the only reason why I think, you know, they switched Skyler for something else that they signed that went undrafted. You know what I'm saying? No big deal.
We'll see if – I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. If he's there, we'll see what his arm is like.
I wasn't super
impressed with him at K-State, but we'll see. And I really don't. And speaking of waste of picks, I'm not ready to call Eric Azukama a waste of a pick. But that was it was like a hedonistic pick. It was like luxury.
Okay, that one's more realistic. I can understand your doubt on it and all that stuff. On a seventh rounder, bro, you're thinking way too much.
Wait. I said minimal waste. I said might be a waste of a pick, but a minimal waste at that. Like you threw away like the last crumb of your burrito, or you threw away a little bit of a water in a water bottle. Like it's not like you're wasting an entire asset here. It just was like like you tossed that. Like I don't think anybody's gonna freak out here. But the Azukama pick, like you said, the Azukama pick, that is a pick that we should be more critical of. But I want to see it first. I don't want to, you know, start the kid's career off by hating on him. Like, get a chance.
No. I get why that pick could have been used on an offensive lineman.
It could have been used for, you know, in a more efficient way. But you can't ever have two wide receivers. So if he could play, then I'm sure he'll find a spot.
Yeah, you know, those are all legitimate arguments on your part. The seventh rounder, I think it's silly. I'm not going to worry about it. A seventh rounder. If they actually hit on the kid, then it was smart for them to draft him and not sign him undrafted. So I totally get that. But the Azukama one, that's a kid that obviously there's a vision that they have for him. And so the question is, does the piece land right perfectly in the puzzle that they're looking at? Because clearly he's going to do some of those things that Debo did. That's what they're going to use him for.
We'll see. He's just he's a lot bigger. I don't think he's quite the athlete, quite as shifty as Debo Samuel. If they put him in that role, then they put him in that role. But got to see if he can play first. We'll get the opportunity to at least a little bit later on this week. You know, you don't want to put a whole lot of stock into rookie camp.
Remember, it's not that role. It's just a piece of that role because I believe six or seven guys will have a piece of that. Yeah. Debo Samuel role. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Guy that can do
a little Debo and a little Parker. I think that's the way they're looking at it. Okay, we'll get rid of Parker. We can get this guy. He's cheaper. He can do a little bit of what Parker does, but he can also help us in the run game and other things like that because he brings that to the table. So I kind of think that's the way they're looking at it. That's just me.
Like I was saying, I don't want to put a whole weight of stock into rookie camp. To be honest, I mean, this is my, what is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, going to be my fifth NFL season. It's my fourth NFL offseason. I've only gotten to see one rookie camp because of COVID the past couple seasons. There hasn't really been any access to it. But so the one rookie camp I saw, I could tell you that Brian Burns looked great and Will Grier looked horrible. And both of those ended up being true. But, you know, I think that those are exceptions, you know, rather than the norm. Those are outliers. So, like, we'll have a little bit of an idea of where the base level is. But, you know, it's not like the end all be all. But it's either way, like I said, it's just exciting to see some football. So we'll get to see that coming up.
Love it. Follow him on Twitter at Marcel Louis Jacques so you can get the edge on the Miami Dolphins, and go to myedgedrink.com so you can order the finest energy drink on the planet. Zero. I'm talking about zero aftertaste, okay? Not only is it delicious and smooth, zero aftertaste, which will freak you out, in 78 calories also, which is a joke. Myedgedrink.com and get 10% off when you use the code Big O. Marcel, as always, thank you, my brother. We'll catch up later on in the week, my friend.
Absolutely. Real quick, I see Jay Rodriguez in the comments. That's not what I said. I said Brian Burns was great and Will Grier was horrible. But you have a good rest of the day, man. Appreciate you giving me the opportunity to clear this
up. That's consistent right there. They never really listen to what the host is actually saying. So that's consistent right there. So it's a beautiful thing, bro. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful day. I'm going to go enjoy it outside. Take my dog out. I know he's waiting.
There you go. Be good. There you go. And you know Marcel's a great man because he's a dog guy. Dog people are always good. And there he is, ready to go, ready to rock and roll. Marcel Louis Jacques covering the Miami Dolphins, giving us an edge. Remember to go to myedgedrink.com. Use our code Big O. You will get 10%. Off on your order of Edge energy drink wherever you live in the country, by the way. Smooth, delicious, zero aftertaste, 78 calories. It's a joke. Edge energy drink. Check it out. How you doing, Marcel? How you feeling?
Oh, feeling great as usual, man. It's another wonderful day in the NFL. Another example of how this league has monetized the most mundane aspects of its offseason. You know, we're obsessed with the owners' meetings. The draft is its own spectacle. And now the schedule release day, it's a battle of lies and leaks and rumors. And you forget that we literally get the schedule tonight in its entirety. So, you know, I love today, though, because it's just a lot of excitement, a lot of moving parts.
So what leaks do you have for us, bro? We read some schedule that had four primetime games. We don't even know if it was true or not. We don't know if it's accurate or not. It could be some guy in his basement that created it on his own. So do you have any info for us? Have you been able to steal any information?
The schedule comes out tonight. That is my leak. That is my information for you guys. Like, it is I know we're obsessed with, like, knowing things now and knowing every little bit, but it all comes out tonight, and we can talk about it for the next 4 months. But no, that's, I think I know the schedule that you're talking about. That's got them opening with Buffalo and then Pittsburgh. Yeah. Week two. And the guy said that he got it from CBS4. I firmly believe that CBS would get this. I believe that's the station that, you know, it's the official station of the team. Yeah. I believe that they would get the schedule in advance for planning purposes, but there's no way on God's green earth are they letting that thing leak out. So I'm skeptical of it actually being true, but I mean, just go look at that. What's the big schedule leak account? NFL schedule leaks on Twitter. Just came out and admit he's been making up games this entire time.
I'm ready to throw you under the bus because that schedule leak thing is going to be on ESPN. They probably gave it to you already, and you're just holding out on us. That's all. You're holding out on us, Mr. ESPN. That's what's going on. That's all. Admit it. You're holding out on us.
We're in agreement with the NFL. Even if I had the schedule, you're not going to get it for me. I'm going to lose my job over something that y'all going to find out in 6 hours. So, no.
Hey, listen.
I'm excited. I'm as excited to talk about the schedule as anybody. Don't get me wrong. I love it. I love when it drops. I love making plans. I love texting my friends around the league. Be like, see one, da-da-da-da day. Better have this ready, that ready. I love that. But it's the same energy as, like, getting to the stadium at the crack of dawn to see who's warming up and who's not. Like, we're going to get the inactives in, like, an hour. Like, I'm going to enjoy my off time. I'm going to take a little longer walk with my dog instead of sprint to the stadium and fight the real traffic and try to speculate on things that we are literally going to find out.
That's all right. Hey, listen, I know how it is. I knew about, you know, Flo wanted Jordan Love and I couldn't say anything. So I get it. You got to keep your secrets. It's understandable. It's all right. You want to hide it from us. All right. You know, but at least have you that Buffalo one, since, you know, you've got a couple of anchor bar visits in you. What do you know? Any chance that there's truth to Dolphins Buffalo week one?
Not that I know of, no. Also, Buffalo would pull my card if they ever caught me at Anchor Bar. I would not be allowed back in the city. I would. They take my pass. All of that, all of the above. Anchor Bar is mid. Got to go to Barville. Got to go to Elmo's. Got to go to 9/11 Tavern.
Yeah, phonies go to Anchor Bar. Like the phonies that really don't know Buffalo go to Anchor Bar, right? That's what it is.
It was funny on Twitter when they
minor leaguers,
Bills and Patriots played in the playoffs. Some TV reporter from Boston had taken this video of a bunch of Patriots fans at Anchor Bar. They're like, Pats fans took over Anchor Bar, and Buffalo just laughed. So it was like, you took over a previously unoccupied space. Like, you didn't, right. You're, we don't care. That Stephen A. Smith
means. That is the misconception. The misconception is that, you know, Anchor Bar is like the bomb there in Buffalo when it's not. It's just considered a tourist trap, not really the right place to go get the wings.
The TGI Fridays of wings. So, yeah. Michael Cody knows what I'm talking about, bro.
Yeah, no, I know. But it's funny to hear some people that really have zero clue about it, and they end up like talking about it like it's the second coming. All right, what are you picking up from camp? I was reading another article with Barry Jackson, and I tell you, Wes Welker really likes Ezukama and Sherfield. So those are some of the things. So you tell me what impressions are you getting so far from camp? Not that you're going to get much at this point in time.
Yeah, everybody is they're training for position flexibility on the offensive line. You know, I think there've been some reports that Connor Williams has been cross training at center, and that they're unclear on who's actually going to take the snaps. Like, everybody is training how to snap. And because of, you know, talking to Frank Smith, offensive coordinator, because of this zone blocking scheme, you're basically, as he put it, you do the same thing on whatever side. So if you play left guard, you should be able to play right guard. If you play left tackle, you're going to be able to play right tackle in this system. So they want that flexibility. They want that versatility. And that all kind of ties into what I was saying, you know, a couple months ago, what they saw in this offensive line, that it's a young group that wasn't necessarily used properly. So they don't want to take anything off the table here. They want to try, they'll try Austin Jackson at right guard, at right tackle, at left, not left tackle. That one is, you know what I'm saying. That one's locked, but you know what I'm saying. They're going to try them at every.
I think left guard is locked too, bro. I think they can talk all this shit they want. Connor Williams is going to play left. I think they already had in their minds, like, yeah, we're going to create a left side that we know we feel good about, and that's Connor Armstead. That's just me.
Yeah, I mean, the left side doesn't even really matter as much now with the left-handed quarterback. It's the right side that you really want to shore up. But, hey, c'est la vie. It is what it is here. But the point being, they're going for flexibility here. And, you know, adding Sony Michel as well, asked him, like, where does he fit into this offense that – or where does he fit into not even the offense, just a running back room that's as deep as any running back room in the NFL, I think we can say. I mean, they go five deep with guys who have gotten legitimate run at some point or another in the NFL. You know, as young as Miles Gaskin and Savon Ahmed was, there was a period of time for Ahmed in, what was it, 2019, 2020, where he was looking like a potential lead back. Gaskin was looking like a potential lead back. Obviously, it didn't necessarily pan out, which is why they keep adding names. But it's like, man, what are you going to do with all this? And the answer is basically, we're stockpiling talent. We're not looking at, you know, we don't want a feature back. We don't necessarily need a third down back, a between the tackles guy. We're not trying to pigeonhole anybody's skill set. We don't want to specialize in anything. We just want to add good players. And, you know, that's a Coach Speak Hall of Fame line, but that's what we're getting out here.
Well, I think, you know, and I think there's actually, I don't think they're bullshitting you guys, actually. I think they're being very honest, because if you look at how things were run in San Francisco, they tried to have a rotation of players, whether it was receiving or running. So I think that's kind of the way they want to attack people. That's why I keep telling everybody, that all these people that have this hard on for Deebo Samuel, it's like, dude, he brought Deebo Samuel over in all kinds of ways. He doesn't want to do that with one guy. He'd rather keep people guessing this way. So I think there's a lot of truth to what they're telling you. I don't think they're just feeding you BS that you'll write and then everybody else reads and then they go on to do something else. I think versatility and not being predictable is what they want to use as a strength, actually.
No, I don't think that they're lying either. I think they do want to have as many players as possible who can do as many things as possible. Right. They don't want to be predictable. They don't want teams to say, oh, Sonny Michel's on the field. He's, you know, watch inside zone. They don't want any of that.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but yeah, you know, but either way, there are some guys who are going to have to earn a spot on the roster because they're not going to keep five running backs on the 53.
No, so, not with a fullback. No. Not with a fullback, oh, man. That takes away a spot already right there.
Like, it is going to be a tough sell for, you know, it's going to be a tough sell for Savon Ahmed to make the final 53. Oh, it's going to be hard for Myles Gaskin to make the final 53 because what he does best, Chase Edmonds does better.
Yes.
You know, Chase Edmonds is a better version of Myles Gaskin. So it's going to be objectively and respectfully. So it's going to be a long shot, but the competition is going to be great at that position. Come next week. We got OTA starting next week.
You know, I forgot about this. Two nights ago, obviously feeling like shit. I went to sleep right after one of the games, whatever it was, Heat or Panthers. But at that night, Teron Armstead was dropping a single at midnight about Miami. Did you get to hear it, by the way? Because I have not heard it. I haven't heard Teron rapping yet or singing or whatever he does. I'm not exactly sure.
I have not heard it. I've heard a couple of his songs, and they're not bad. They're fine. Like, they're, it's not like I don't know. I don't know if I would call myself the biggest fan. I haven't heard enough to really call myself a fan. Just a couple tracks just to see like what he was about. But he's got
supposedly dropped one at midnight that had to do with Miami. So he created a song.
Apparently, I'm gonna have to go listen to that. Today,
we would get dinged for that shit. Oh, God.
As long as we keep the show under 6 hours, I think we'll be fine.
Oh, well, we are. I don't have a voice to go six hours today. The only problem
we have is the 6 hour thing now that I learned about. That's it.
Oh, 6 hours is not a good thing in YouTube, huh?
No, you can't edit anything after. Once you go over 6 hours, you can't edit anything. So everything is stuck in the thing. So we get dinged and it's a ding.
And it's a ding. So now we know at three we stop and then start again or something. Next year we're going to do the draft.
Part B.
Yeah, because we did a 6 hour show in the draft. So yeah. So I guess that's what it was. So yeah, I want to hear the Teron Armstead single. Maybe I'll groove it in the car on the way home and maybe get a little.
See, he's got about 11 hours and 15 minutes. To catch everybody's attention, because when Kendrick drops at midnight, nothing else really matters.
Oh, yeah. Somebody told me to listen to his number five something. I don't know. Why would somebody tell me that? What's in that song?
Five something? The music video is more, I think, significant than the song itself. Not that it's a bad song, but this music video, he uses several deepfake faces. Oh. And then just kind of like raps from their perspective. So, I mean, like OJ, Kobe Bryant, Nipsey Hussle, I believe Will Smith. There's one more that I'm forgetting, but it's interesting. It's an interesting little concept too, but it's kind of like what is that Michael Jackson song, Black or White?
Oh, yes.
It's kind of like that, except it's the same person. It's not like it's like morphing into like a man, and then here's a woman, here's a different, you know what I mean?
I got you. Okay. I thought it had some kind of a tie, something to Miami or something, why somebody told me to listen to it, but he's an LA kid. So I'm just wondering, you know, that's why it was kind of weird that they would tell me to, what is it? What?
It looks like he released it. It's called Intro to Miami.
Oh, it's called, the Armstead you're saying, Intro to Miami. Okay. There you go. So we got to, you got a story now. You got to write about Teron Armstead's intro.
I'm done writing about football playing rappers, bro. Like I did that with Cole Beasley a few years ago. It's a great story. It's a great story. But I've already done that, man. I've already done that. I don't know what to.
What was
we've already done that. I think ESPN's already done that. So
what was the name of the song for Cole Beasley? I refuse vaccination. What's it called? What was it called?
I will say this. We
vaccines not us. Very
first day of training camp last year. It was, you know, after all of the Twitter stuff.
COVID's my friend.
He was one of the first players to speak, and he gave a 3-minute statement. He's like, I want to get this out, and then I don't want to talk about this anymore. I want to talk football, if you guys don't mind. Very polite about it. And makes a statement about I think his problem was more with the NFL and NFLPA's rules than it was the vaccine itself. Don't get me wrong. He doesn't want to be vaccinated, but his gripe, he wasn't complaining about the vaccine. He's complaining about the rules for it, semantics. But he's like, at the end, he's like, all right, I don't want to be a distraction to my team. So, like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to be off Twitter. I'm at this, that, and the third. 45 minutes later, he had released a single called Heavy Nuts, in which he basically stuck his middle finger to everybody. I don't want to repeat all the lyrics. You can go look it up yourself. But it was like, I can't believe I just witnessed this. And I already knew I was coming to Miami at that point. So I was just like, all right, man, like, enough. Enough of this. Can I get this contract figured out so I can skate? This is crazy. I'm done covering this.
COVID's cold or cool. I think that was one of his other.
I like cold too, man. Like, I like cold. Like, that was a guy who, you know, I felt like I was pretty. I had a good relationship with in Buffalo when we were allowed in the locker room. You know, I would talk to him every now and then. Like, everybody wanted to do the Cole Beasley music story. And, you know, he let me do it. Like, he agreed to do it with me. I appreciate it. He sat down with me for like 45 minutes and talked through it. And, you know, I have a great relationship with Cole Beasley. I don't agree with his stance. We don't see eye to eye there. He had one main point that I thought was like, all right, yeah, you're right. And that was the frequency of testing for vaccinated versus unvaccinated players. Yeah.
That's very true.
That never made any sense. Why are you going to test a vaccinated player every 2 weeks, but unvaccinated every day? Like, that one,
right?
It's more of an incentive to get vaccinated, which, you know, which we don't have to get into that.
You still can get it and be a person that's transmitting it to somebody else, at least. It may not hurt you as much, but you may hurt somebody else that, you know. And who knows? That person takes it home and they have somebody compromised. There's just... The chain reaction to this thing is just a bitch, dude. It just sucks.
Yeah, so I'm glad that we are, as far as the NFL and its rules and protocols are concerned, we are moving forward. Yep. So I can appreciate that.
I'm with you there. All right, follow him on Twitter at Marcel_LJ. Catch his work at ESPN. What are you working on, Espen, besides keeping the schedule away from us? Because we know you know the schedule, okay?
That's
all right. We'll let you go. We understand you'll get fired. So I get it.
I am taking a breath after draft season, and then F1 came back to back like that. But don't have a lot of time to breathe because we've got rookie camp starting tomorrow. I'm going to have my observations and whatever y'all need to know since we're boots on the ground there. Then we've got OTAs again starting on Tuesday. At least our access starting on Tuesday. And it's that slow trickle till about mid-June, and it comes to a full stop for a month, and then we're back at it, training camp and preseason and all that in the third. So it's exciting that we finally made it to this point in the offseason. I've said it a couple times. This is like the fastest offseason I think I've ever been a part of. So I'm glad that it is continuing to move.
There you go. And it'll end with a Super Bowl in Arizona with the Dolphins. All right, let's hear with Armstead here. Go ahead, play it. Punching in verses, I'm striking like lightning, but sounding like thunder. Falling in south like I play for the thunder. Wow. Putting in works on my ass like a plumber. Designer dripping this bitch like I'm gonna. Yeah. Don't play with me in this bitch, I'm a gunner. Bang. I can bag any little bitch that I wanna. Man, dog cross the country like Dumber and Dumber. Tapping with backs at the six in the summer. I'm from the six, but this place is a jungle. There you go. There's a little Teron Armstead. I don't know what all of that had to do with Miami, but I guess I'm going to have to slow down and listen to it again and try to pick up everything there. There were some things in there that we were talking about.
He used the Thunder, which is Tampa Bay. But I'm not
Yeah, the Thunder. And then he said something about something there that had nothing to do with Miami, too. I don't know what it was, but a Dumb and Dumber or something like that he did?
You know what I will say? What? One, rapping is hard. Rapping on beat is hard. Yes. Keeping a melody, keeping a flow is hard. He can at least do that. So it's not like, I don't know if you ever heard Kevin Durant's rap, like, or LeBron's, like, yeah, some people cannot rap. Some athletes cannot rap. I think he can rap. Like, let's see. I'll have to go back and listen to actually what he's saying.
Where are you at with Dame Lillard?
Dame is the best rapping athlete, period. Okay. Dame and then Miles Bridges from the Hornets.
Well, I haven't heard Miles.
Miles can
rap. Dane actually sounds good. Actually.
Miles Bridges can rap. Like, I don't know if a lot of people know that, or I don't know how many people know that.
Antonio Brown cannot rap. Just so Antonio Brown knows. I mean, he's too crazy to understand anything anyways. He can't rap, by the way. He sucks. But
every now and then he had like something catchy that, like, I just came home from the NO. I was like, all right, I like this. And then he actually started rapping. I was like, I just want the hood.
Yeah, he can't
rap. I just want the hood.
It was bad. It was bad. All right. Follow him on Twitter at Marcel_LJ and catch his work there at ESPN as he keeps the schedule away from us. We'll catch up with him later on next week when he can actually talk schedule with us.
Exactly. I'll talk with y'all on Monday, man.
Thank you.
You too.
MyEdgeDrink.com is the website. You get 10% off. Use the code Big O, the best energy drink on the planet. Telling you. Delicious, zero aftertaste, super smooth, not just smooth, super smooth. All right. So when you get something that's delicious, smooth, and zero aftertaste, and a perfect elixir, mix it with a little vodka, that Grey Goose, so good. MyEdgeDrink.com. That's our Dolphins report.